Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of Couchside Sports Podcast, here where we're giving you our perspectives on sports from the comforts of our couches.
As it should be.
And this is your host, Kyle French, and you heard him on the other line.
Michael Burke, calling it from Queens, doing his thing, sitting on the couch, talking sports.
As always. And you got that Thursday Night Football ready to go?
Oh, yeah. We got Thursday Night Football on in the background. Jacoby Brissett coming out the backfield with a little 6-yard run right off the bat. Right now, they're up 7-0. Pretty awful game to be on a Thursday, but we got to roll with what we get.
Who's rocking the color rush, though? Is the Colts going all white or all blue?
All blue. They're all blue.
Ooh.
Denver's all orange.
Oh, I love the all orange.
Yeah. It's nice. Nice looking.
All right, so we got some stuff to get to today. Carson Wentz, obviously the biggest thing that's happened in sports in the past week since our last episode. This is just a shame.
It is.
So a little background. Were you watching the game?
I was not. People in my house were. So when I heard them yelling and shit, I was like, what happened? And I went upstairs and they let me know.
Yeah, it was a weird situation, though. So he dove for a touchdown. He got in, but it's called back due to, I believe it was a holding call. He takes a pretty hard hit going into the end zone. And, like, when I was watching, I was like, oh, wow, that, you know, that looked bad.
Yeah.
But he got up, went back to the huddle, nothing wrong. I'm like, all right, he's done this 50 times this season. I mean, he's gotten hit more than any quarterback, I feel like, and it's not even sacks. It's just him scrambling and, like, diving for the end zone, trying to, like, truck linebackers. If he wasn't so big, he'd be getting called out like RG3 for, you know, possibly getting injured. But anyway, he goes back into the huddle, throws a touchdown on the next play, and it's like, all right, the Eagles are fine. Like, he's fine. No one thinks twice about it. He walks to the sideline. He's got, like, kind of this grimace on his face, definitely uncomfortable. But again, he's walking with no help. He's not really limping. He goes to the locker room. Again, no support. The medical staff is just walking next to him. And next thing you know, people are like, yeah, he tore his ACL. He's done for the year.
Yeah, his knee, like, bent. It was weird.
Yeah, it was a weird situation because the linebacker, the safety who hit him, really got him, like, right on the knee. And there was another linebacker coming from the other side that got, like, his ankle. So it kind of pushed the leg the wrong direction. But, I mean, to get up and throw a touchdown, you got to think he's fine, right?
Yeah, that's a Kobe-esque.
Kobe-esque, that's right. So Wentz out for the season. Nick Foles takes over at quarterback. How devastating is this for Eagles fans? And where do the Eagles stand now as far as the playoff race?
To answer the question about how devastated Eagles fans are, I live with two Eagles fans.
Ooh.
One of them, like, went to work and was like, no one talked to me. Like, I'm done with this shit. This is ridiculous. Like, this is supposed to be one of, like, our year. Now it's, like, taken from us. The other one's, like, optimistic, you know. He's like, you know, Nick Foles isn't bad. Nick Foles, forgot what his record is, but it's something actually really, really good.
Yeah, he's a proven quarterback. Like, when he backed up Mike Vick, I think it was, like, 2014, 2013, around those years.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, if you're an Eagles fan, it's a little devastating, you know, losing your all-star MVP caliber quarterback. But Nick Foles is decent. The rest of the team is still intact. Their defense is great. Their receiving core is awesome. They've got some quality running backs. You know, this Eagles team is pretty good. Do I think they're going to make the Super Bowl? No. I thought they were going to lose to the Saints anyway. So now that just makes Saints, like, that more possible of getting to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and like you said, Nick Foles, I think it was a game in 2014, he actually threw 7 touchdowns and no interceptions in one game. So, obviously, he's capable.
He's a decent backup.
He's decent.
He's probably, you know what, honestly, like, he's probably the best backup in the league.
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, I probably can't come up with a better one. Unless you count Tony Romo.
Just because Jimmy G is not a backup anymore.
Yep, true. And still undefeated. So, like you said, this definitely takes the Eagles down a level. But, honestly, I think they were a step ahead of a lot of other teams in the NFC. Whether it was the Rams, the Saints, like you mentioned, the Vikings, those are probably the next three. I think they're now on that level. I don't think they dropped below any of those teams necessarily, because even in that game where they lost Wentz, He went out when they were losing, and Foles didn't do a whole lot, but he got them down the field for a field goal, and the defense held the Rams, and they ended up winning that game. So to me, you're taking the Saints as the best team in the NFC. This is like the tightest I can remember a conference being in a while. I mean, my gut says that you're right in New Orleans, just because the Rams are so young. The Vikings have Case Keenum. I don't know if we can trust him.
Yeah.
Maybe the biggest threat, honestly, is if Aaron Rodgers can come back and be healthy, they might be the favorite. Is that crazy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got to see how Aaron Rodgers plays. And they're in the hunt. They still got to make it. I also think that the Panthers are right there, because the Panthers have been playing some good football lately.
Yeah, they just beat the Vikings.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is extremely close, especially compared to the AFC, because it's just two teams.
Whoa.
I don't really see any other teams competing.
You hating on Jacksonville?
I'm hating on Jacksonville. We have Blake Bortles as your quarterback. You can have the best defense in the world. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I trust him. Run the ball, play good defense.
I mean, I wouldn't put my money on him, but crazy things have happened.
Yeah. And speaking of crazy things, it's almost that time of year. Playoffs are coming up. Everyone's going to start talking scenarios. Who's in, who's out? You're going to see the playoff picture infographic 15 times every quarter. Let's brainstorm some of the craziest potential scenarios here that could happen that you just love to see. So one, you just mentioned the Jaguars. And this is a possibility, a very solid possibility. I would love to see Jacksonville get the one seed in the AFC. And it's possible, because they own the tiebreaker over Pittsburgh. If the Patriots go in, or I believe they play in Foxborough this weekend, if they take care of the Steelers, both those teams would sit at 11-3. And then you got the Jaguars one game back. That is, if they beat the Texans this week, which they have TJ Yates, they're a mess. I think they can take care of business there.
Yeah.
And then they have the Titans, which is a good division game. That would be tough. And then the 49ers, who I know they have Jimmy G, but that's somewhat of a soft schedule. So they have a good chance, I would say, to get to 12-4. And they have the tiebreaker over both the Patriots and the Steelers. It would be asinine to see a playoff bracket with the Jaguars as a one seed, but I live and die for that moment.
I mean, you know, it very well could happen. You never know. I feel like the Patriots are going to win out, though. Like, this loss that they just had to Miami is, like, actually a good thing. Because, you know, like, Brady and Belichick have, like, a crazy record coming off of a loss. They're going into Pittsburgh. If they win Pittsburgh, I just see that team riding that momentum to the end of the season and into the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. And I love how people overreact. The Patriots lose by 7. So I know the Dolphins aren't good, but, like, it's their third loss of the season. They just won 8 in a row. And people are acting like it's a devastating loss. Like any other team, this is just regular business.
Yeah. So. I mean, you can pretty much chalk up a loss for the Patriots either in Buffalo or in Miami every single year. Just because they play each other so much, and being on the road and going into Miami. Miami's tough at home. They are. They played a great defensive game. They poked some holes through the Patriots' defense. You know, they just played better. What can you say?
Yep.
But this is something that's going to motivate those Patriots. And I think I'm glad it happened now instead of the playoffs.
So you got any playoff scenarios you're kind of hoping for?
Yeah, we were just talking about Nick Foles, and I think it would be fantastic for Nick Foles to come out, shock the world, lead the Eagles into the Super Bowl. All these Eagles fans that are all like, oh, we're done. Like, if Nick Foles came out, had another 7-touchdown game, that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah.
He would definitely, like, win himself a starting job somewhere next year.
Yeah, he probably deserves it. Like you said, one of the better backup quarterbacks. That would be amazing. I mean, it would be kind of like back in the day when Donovan McNabb got hurt, Jeff Garcia came in. And all of a sudden they got hot, and people were like all behind Jeff Garcia thinking he could take them to the Super Bowl. So it'd be cool to see that happen with Nick Foles too.
Yeah, quality guy.
Another one that I think would be I think it's going to happen. I don't even think this is a crazy playoff scenario. Like, this is likely to happen, is the Chargers start 0-4, the Chiefs start 6-0, and the Chargers win the AFC West.
Yeah.
That's an incredible story. It would be very Philip Rivers-esque, though, just to get them there and then lose the first round on, like, a fourth quarter turnover, but it'd still be great to see.
Yeah, I mean, that would be so great. When we did our NFL predictions, I had the Chargers making the playoffs as a wild card.
Yeah.
But that is very likely because that division is so bunched up. It's crazy. You got the Chiefs 7-6, Chargers 7-6, Raiders 6-7. I had the Raiders winning that division, and obviously that has not happened. They've disappointed throughout the season.
They're only one game back.
They are. They'll be one game back. So, you know, they could still end up. I mean, the Raiders could still end up winning. The Chiefs could miss it. And the Chargers could be a wild card. That'd be perfect for what I said. But
yeah.
We'll see what happens. Everyone overreacted when the Chiefs started off so hot.
Including me.
Yeah. Defenses have figured out what to do. Andy Reid's got to adjust. They did have a pretty good win last week. But I want to see these Chargers go out there, man.
Yeah, man. It'll be a big game this weekend.
Yeah, I just don't want to see them lose on a field goal because it's happened. Let's say it's happened on multiple times this season.
Oh yeah, like three times. Like Philip Rivers, he must be going crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so those are a couple of playoff scenarios for you guys to look forward to. That'd be pretty cool. If you have any other cool scenarios you'd want to see, go ahead and tweet us at Couchside Sports with a Z.
With a Z, man.
As always. So we'll transition here. We'll go over to a little basketball talk. Not even really basketball talk. This is just business facts. Big baller talk. LaMelo Ball, LiAngelo Ball. LeVar pulled them out of school. LaMelo from high school, LiAngelo from UCLA. And they're signing with a Lithuanian professional team. I mean, what is going on here? This came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah, this is like, you had to figure something was going to happen because I mean, I had heard rumors that LiAngelo was going to be, like, suspended for the season. I don't know what the truth of that or whatever it was.
Yeah, he was suspended indefinitely. We don't really know what that means, but.
Yeah. And, you know, LeVar likes to go out there, put his name out there, cause some controversy. He was, like, on a talk show. I forgot which one, like, he was talking about it. He was like, yeah, you don't need school if you have a brand. And, like, we have a brand. So, like, he doesn't care about anything, like, with his children's education. To him, it's all money. He wants LaMelo and LiAngelo to play together. So I guess they'll do that in Lithuania. I don't know what he's going to do. Is he going to move to Lithuania with them? And if he does, then he's not going to be able to watch Lonzo. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see what happens. This guy is just so crazy.
He's an idiot. This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is the team can opt out of the contract after 1 month. Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do.
I know. You go over there, they get a lot of publicity. I don't think they would. I think they want to ride it out. I think they want to ride out the Ball Brothers out there, make some money.
It's going to be.
People are going to pay to see that, man.
They are, but there's going to be such a contrast between what the organization and what management wants and what the players and the coach want. Because there's no way, if I'm the coach of that team, I'm like, fire me now. Like, I quit. Like, who would want to deal with that? I bet none of the players are going to have to deal with them. I don't really know this league at all. It's called the LKL League. It's the team's name is Prienu Vitatas. I don't know anything about it. It's either going to be really young kids who are getting their like opportunities stolen from them. But I bet this is like just 30-year-old like Lithuanian men just trying to grind out a life as a low-level basketball player. And these two kids are going to come in, steal the scene. They're going to be cocky. You know, it's going to be all about them. They're going to have all the publicity. You know, they just want to play good fundamental basketball out there in Lithuania. And these two kids are going to come in, probably not even be that good and just ruin it all. But like you said, I'm sure the organization will want to sell those tickets. Who knows if people in Lithuania know who LaVar Ball is?
Right.
But
they will.
Yeah, they will soon. I'm sure he's been opening stores left and right. He opened one in Manhattan this weekend, Beijing, Hong Kong. Maybe one will pop up in Lithuania. Who knows? But it's things like this that just make me say the Ball family are the Kardashians of the basketball world.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, why is LeVar famous? Why is he on every news network every day?
Right.
Just because he is who he is, I guess. I mean, it's frustrating. Although, I don't even know if I can say that they're the Kardashians of the NBA, because the Kardashians have a pretty strong presence in the NBA as it is. Lamar Odom, I mean, James Harden, Tristan Thompson. They run into them.
I'm just waiting for... I'm not going to say that I want to watch it, but you know how the Kardashians came to fame.
Yeah, we'll cut that. You think the same thing's going to happen with the Ball family?
I don't know, man. The way that they've been doing stuff.
Maybe a LeVar tape leaks?
Oh, God, that'd be awful. I mean, all publicity is some publicity, so...
Apparently.
I'm sure if he got offered money for it, he'd fucking do it. He loves money.
Oh, sure. I'm sure he would. What just happened?
Brock Osweiler diving headfirst into the end zone off of like a 20-yard rush.
Wow.
Yeah, was not paying attention to Carson Wentz's injury, but he dove headfirst right into that.
Hey, good for him. I've never seen giraffes move like that.
He just took off, man. Noticed that the defense just like split, like on either side of the field, and the middle of the field was just wide open. It took off.
There's no way that he covered 20 yards in less than 10 seconds.
I think he did.
No. I need a clock on that. I need a gun on that.
If they show another replay, I'm gonna count it. But
all right, count that.
That man was moving those feet, so. All
right, hey, well, either way, I like talking about Brock Osweiler getting a 20-yard touchdown run more than the Ball family. And people have said it over and over that people don't like talking about LeVar. And the only reason that they talk about him is basically because they talk about him. Like, it's such a reciprocal argument. So as a podcast here, should Couchside take a stand and vow to never speak on the Ball family name again?
I think so, honestly. I mean, I don't think we should give these guys what they want and that they want people talking about them. And they're going to do whatever they can to get people to talk about them. But they're pretty much irrelevant to life. They just have...
True.
LeVar just has three kids that are good at basketball. And he was making them, like... Probably had them in, like, the backyard when they were, like, 3 years old, like, shooting free throws, like, screaming at them. So I think we should take a stand.
I think we have to. And I know they'll be disappointed since we are one of the biggest sports outlets, you know, this side of the Mississippi. But we got to put our foot down.
Yeah, he's probably going to say something about this, but sorry, LeVar, we're not talking about you anymore.
All right, there it is. You heard the last Ball family name on Couchside Sports.
That's it.
All right, so we'll move on. Breaking news, it isn't news. A Couchside classic.
Yep.
We got a juicy one today.
Ooh, what happened?
So we don't talk a whole lot of hockey. This involves an NHL player. / NHL player's wife.
Oh.
So Stacia Robitaille, I hope I'm saying that right, wife of NHL player Luke Robitaille, shared a little story with us on Twitter, via Twitter, from about 20 years ago. She said she claims that she was on an elevator with Donnie Trumpets, the POTUS.
Oh, boy.
And she said that he was very aggressive with her and told her that she would be going home with him that night. And when she responded negatively and said, listen, I'm married to a guy who plays for the New York Rangers, like, you know, get out of here. He's like, oh, I'm sure I make more money than your husband. Like, you'll come home with me. So, bottom line, Trump involved in another alleged, I think confirmed, sexual misconduct claim. That's breaking news. It isn't news.
Pretty much, man. Like, this guy... I cannot believe that he is our president, first of all. If you support Trump...
But hey, but we don't talk politics on this podcast.
Yeah, we don't. We stay out of politics. It's truly sports. The only reason we're talking about this is because of the NHL. But, I mean, if you support Trump, I'm sure you have your reasons. I'm going to like question your thinking of how you got to this reasoning, but this man is an absolute like bad thing for everything. He's like an orange, like gremlin, awful hair, awful taste, tiny hands. His vocabulary is as small as his hand, but his ego is like the biggest thing in the world.
You gonna drop and a diss track?
I really should. I really want to. I think I'm gonna link up with Eminem. I'm gonna come out with another one.
Word. I think you might be able to do better than Eminem, honestly.
I do a different flow than the normal.
Yeah. Oh.
In that low voice. He was better when he was on drugs.
Yeah. I hate his execution now, but... Yeah, so that's breaking news that isn't news. If you guys remember, if you're true fans of the podcast, got to be a couple months ago now, we had our hockey analyst on. And we did a segment called Hockey Tough or Playing Stupid. We talked about basically stupid things that NHL players do, whether it's playing through injuries or just off the court things, off ice. I'm used to saying court, my bad. And we determined if they were hockey tough, just in the hockey culture of being a tough guy, or actually stupid. So let's go ahead and apply that to the situation. Mr. Burke, is Donald Trump hitting on an NHL player's wife and doubling down after she says, listen, I'm not about this? Is that hockey tough or playing stupid?
I'm going to have to go with playing stupid. Because I feel like those two words together perfectly describe Donald Trump. Also, Donald Trump is not the most physically fit guy. So,
but he has money. He said he had money.
Yeah, he has money, but what was stopping this woman from like telling her NHL hockey like husband, like, yo, this guy's hitting on me, come kick his ass? I'm pretty sure Donald Trump would get his ass beat if he fought a hockey player.
Oh, absolutely.
Retired or current, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I'm
no
sure
contest.
I could easily beat Donald Trump's ass. You could too. The dude is a 70-year-old, like, obese man, like, who can barely move. But he's just playing stupid. That's what I'm going with.
All fair points. I'm gonna take the opposite side of the coin, though.
Oh, you're taking hockey tough?
Yeah, well, this is hockey tough. First off, so it wasn't really that hockey tough to just sexually assault someone in an elevator. Not cool. Not a hockey guy thing. But hockey guys are all about playing through injury. When you get knocked down, you come back even stronger. You don't quit. And that's what Donald did here. He got knocked down. And he said, I'm not going to quit. I'm a tough, like a hockey player. It's like playing through a torn ACL, you know? It's essentially what happened here. So, extremely stupid thing to do, but he did it in a hockey tough manner, even though I don't respect it.
I like the breakdown.
So that's where I stand on that. So yeah, we don't talk politics, though, on this podcast.
No, it's a sport.
And do you have any breaking news for us on this fine Thursday evening?
Yeah, of course I have some news. If you guys are loyal listeners, give what, you know, we said fantasy football-wise, then you can disregard what I'm about to say. But if you guys didn't and missed the playoff, breaking news, it isn't news. You suck at fantasy football. You should be doing exactly what we told you to do. We've given some great advice. One typical word of advice that comes to mind is when I mentioned picking up Evan Ingram, because tight end in a shallow position. My co-host Kyle French did that and benefited greatly.
Thank you.
No problem. Got to look out for the homie. But back to everyone else. You guys suck. If you guys missed the playoffs, you might as well stop listening to us because you're not actively listening. Not understanding the concepts that we're putting out there. So you know what? You need to reevaluate your sports knowledge, maybe listen to a different podcast or something, because obviously you are not taking what we are giving you and seeing real-world results. And now you're going to have to go out there and you're going to stand in the cold naked or something or get some stupid-ass tattoo because you can't take the advice that we give you and turn it into a winning football team.
Preach.
Breaking news. That isn't news. You suck.
Whew. That was a roast.
Had to. Because this is unacceptable.
Hey, but take what Mike said to heart. But maybe just take a break from the podcast for just a little bit and then come right back. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe just leave. Come back. Re-download all the episodes for us. And then we'll welcome you back to the family. No hard feelings. But at least for a week. Let it breathe. You suck at fantasy football.
Love the fantasy football. Hopefully, if you play fantasy basketball, you'll learn from your mistakes and actually start taking our advice.
True. And we actually have some basketball talk to get to.
We do.
We got a little who got finessed.
Ooh.
So a guy you may or may not want to add to your fantasy roster. Mm-hmm. Jahlil Okafor finally got traded. I mean, I felt so bad for this man wasting away in Philly. He was buried on the bottom of the bench behind Simmons, Embiid, Saric, a bunch of other guys. He was getting no minutes. Finally got traded to the Nets, a situation where he can thrive. So the official deal is Jahlil Okafor, Nick Stauskas, and a second-round pick going to the Nets. And in return, the Sixers will receive Trevor Booker. So how do we feel about this trade?
I think the Nets won the trade. First of all, they gave up Trevor Booker, quality backup. That's fine.
Nothing special.
He wasn't really doing anything for the Nets. They traded away him. They got that second-round pick that, you know, they don't have any draft picks, so it's nice to pick them up.
Yep.
They got Nick Stauskas, a young shooter that they can use, and then Jahlil Okafor, who is the main piece of this trade for them. Young center. Doesn't really get burned in Philly just because of, obviously, like, the process and stuff like that. His style of basketball is a little out of date, but he could be something for them. He just needs to work on his defense and his rebounding, but the guy is polished offensively. If I'm Brooklyn, I did this trade because I'm letting Jahlil play. You want to see what you got back. You're not going to sit him on the bench, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm going with the Nets winning this trade.
Yeah, I got to say the Nets won it. The only reason I'm hesitant is because Philly really didn't give up anything. I mean, Jahlil Okafor and Nick Stauskas, for all intents and purposes, don't play for the Sixers. They don't get minutes. They're not important at all to the team.
Yeah.
Who knows if Trevor Booker will be a piece there anyway. I mean, they have a super deep front court as it is. Guys like Amir Johnson, James Michael McAdoo can do essentially what a Trevor Booker does. But they didn't really lose anything, so it's hard to say they lost the trade. But the Nets gained a lot, so that's why I'd have to give it to them. The finesse meter, I'd throw it like a 2 or 3, not high at all. But he'll be, I think he's their best offensive big. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so I mean, they have Mozgov, but he's been terrible, especially for what they're paying him. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Okafor is on a contract year, so he'll be looking to ball out. He's playing for a contract right now. I mean, someone will pay him next year, but as a matter of how much, a lot of that will have to do with how he performs for the Nets this second half of the season.
Yeah.
You know, as a ceiling for Okafor, I could see him throwing up 15, 16, 17 points per game maybe. Like you said, he's got it all on the offensive side of the ball. Defense, not so much. So we'll have to see what happens there. But maybe, like I said, being energized, motivated, playing for a contract. In Philly, he didn't care. He knew he wasn't part of the future there. He was just trying to get buckets. He was doing nothing on defense. I think that had a lot to do with his motivation and energy level. So maybe that'll change around and, you know, at least show a good amount of effort in Brooklyn. So I think it's a great pickup for them. And also, I think, you know, worthy of noting, you mentioned they got that second round pick and they haven't had picks for years. They got bashed for not having picks. And you now look at their roster, they actually have the number 2 and the number 3 pick from the 2015 draft.
Yeah, that's enough.
So, I mean, they got D'Angelo Russell, Jahlil Okafor. So, yeah, they haven't had first round picks for like 4 years now. But they actually have 2 top 5 picks on their roster. So they got them somehow.
Mm-hmm.
They're building the future. And also, another thing to note about this trade is everyone was really big on that Nets pick that got moved in the Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas trade. The value of that pick is going down tremendously.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people thought it'd be locked in as like a number 1, number 2 pick because they thought the Nets would be one of the worst teams in the league. But that's not the case. They're only a few games under 500. Who knows? Maybe that's a 10th pick now. And all of a sudden, that becomes a lot lower value of an asset for the Cavs, and that might affect them. So there's a lot of moving pieces here.
Oh, yeah. You know what I think is funny is that the Celtics have the Grizzlies pick.
Yeah.
Still, which they held on to, and now that might end up being a better pick than the Nets pick.
Yeah, that's true. That's trending down fast.
Yep. So Danny Ainge finessing like he always does.
Always, yeah. Dude. Even when it looks like he takes an L, he gets the dub.
He does.
You just wait like a couple weeks, a couple months, a couple years. It's a wrap. All right, so that's a little Who Got Finessed trade talk there. Jahlil going to the Nets. We'll move on to how we always end the show here, at least for the next few weeks. I'm not sure what we'll do in the future.
Yeah, I know. We'll have to figure something out.
Yeah, we will. We always do. So,
yeah.
NFL picks. You got it hot off the presses here. I'll just go get this one out of the way because everyone knows where I'm going with this pick. Upset of the week. We're going to Cleveland. The Browns at home. I talked a big game about Cleveland earlier in the year. And the main thing I staked my faith in the Browns on was that, no, they're not going to make the playoffs. But they're going to beat some division rivals and prevent them from making the playoffs. So far, I've been completely wrong, but this is their last chance to do that. They're playing the Baltimore Ravens, who are fighting for their playoff lives. The Browns are going to hand them a thick, juicy L, knock them out of the race for the playoffs. And finally, at least one thing that I said about the Browns preseason will come true. Cleveland Browns, 7-point underdogs, are taking the W this week against the Ravens.
I like it. You got to keep rolling with them.
Keep rolling.
Keep rolling. You know, they got to win one.
They have to.
They got to win one. You know, if you go 0-16, like, come on. They're not that bad.
They're not. I mean,
they're really not. Their defense is okay.
And they've lost twice in overtime, which just is breaking my heart.
Oh, yeah. It's tough to see, I bet.
Especially because if they had won last week against the Packers in overtime, this whole Aaron Rodgers storyline might go out the window.
Yeah.
So they're letting everyone back in it.
Yeah.
Where are you going this week?
This week, we're going on down, or I should say up. We're going on up to Buffalo.
Ooh.
Buffalo, 4-point favorite over Miami. Miami's coming off a big win. They beat the Patriots. They've always got a running back that's hot at the end of the year. Right now, it's Kenyon Drake. He's on
fantasy
my
fantasy stud.
Team. Fantasy stud. He's on my team. He's my flex, which is crazy, just to let you know. Why are the whips to do us? Going back to my last segment. But for now, we'll keep it in this NFL pick. I'm going Miami's taking down Buffalo. They're playing well. Jay Cutler's playing at a decent level. Kenyon Drake's a savage. Buffalo, I don't know what they're doing. Their season just went out the window. They looked promising at the beginning, but they pulled at what a Buffalo does and just ended up losing it. So I'm going Miami over Buffalo.
I like it. Water always finds its level.
Yep.
I don't know if you can count on Jay Cutler to have two good games back-to-back, but like you said, they could rely on the defense and Kenyon Drake. So.
Yep, Kenyon Drake's a savage.
Yeah, he really is. He's been coming on hot and steady. So we'll go to Sunday night. Two teams in the playoff hunt. Kind of on the outside looking in, they really got to try to win out from here, you know, win as many games they can. The Cowboys and the Raiders getting together in Oakland Sunday night. Where are you going with this one? This one feels like a toss-up to me.
It is a toss-up, but I've just lost all faith in the Raiders.
Ooh, really?
I think the Cowboys will be able to take this one. I don't know. There's really not much to it because, you know, the Cowboys are kind of just like, are they officially out of playoffs? I'm not sure.
No.
I have to see their record.
No, they're 7-6. So, I mean, they went out. They get to 10-6. They still need help, even if they went out, but they're for sure in it.
Because that would be a crazy storyline if they somehow got it and Zeke came back, because then they could be trouble for some teams. But, I'm going to ride with Dallas. I don't know, man. The Raiders, they just don't have their shit together.
Yeah, something's off. I mean, Derek Carr, he's playing like the girl he looks like out there with that eyeliner. So,
Danielle Carr,
yeah. So, if you can't tell by that comment, I'm also rolling with the Cowboys.
All right.
The Raiders, I just don't want to see them win the AFC West. I either want my pick, the Chiefs, to take it, or the Chargers to make that incredible storyline I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys, I just think they're the better team. They've had a lot of close losses this year. I know they don't look great without Zeke. Dak is kind of being exposed, you know, as I thought he might, as a average at best quarterback when he doesn't have a running game. They're that type of team that's going to come down to the last game of the season on whether they make the playoffs or not. They did it every year when they had Tony Romo. And I think they're going to set it up perfectly again. So they'll win this game. They'll get to week 16, week 17, and the collapse might come then, but it's not coming now. So I'll take Dallas to go into Oakland and win that game.
All right. I like it. I think so, too.
So we'll move to Monday night. Atlanta Falcons, who are getting hot, in Tampa Bay. The Bucs have been a mess all year. I got to take the favorite here again. Atlanta, like I mentioned, heating up. Somehow they won that game last Thursday when Matt Ryan threw three interceptions against the Saints. And if they can win that game, they should for sure be able to handle the Buccaneers, who at this point may as well just lose as many games as they can.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm agreeing with you. I mean, Atlanta's just rolling right now. They're doing well, playing some good football. That Tampa Bay secondary is so weak. And Muhammad Sanu threw a 50-yard bomb last time they played. Shocked the world. I'm just saying that their secondary is trash. And a big strength of the Falcons is their passing game, especially when you're throwing the ball. Like Matt Ryan's throwing the ball to Julio Jones.
Yeah, that's a top two, top three duo in the NFL, I'd say.
100%.
That connection right there.
I would say top three. Because I would say number one is Brady Gronk.
Yeah, that's a good one. When healthy, then, I think Rodgers to Jordy Nelson might be the best.
Yeah, that. But Roethlisberger to Brown is good too.
I just don't trust Big Ben enough. It feels like Antonio Brown really wears the pants in that relationship.
100% agreed. Big Ben's starting to hit that washed up phase of his career.
Yeah, I mean, he's had the beer gut for quite a while now. The chipmunk cheeks. He's on his way out.
There's another guy that has sexual allegations against him.
Yeah. Yeah, him and Trump. They're very alike in that sense.
Yeah. Beer-bellied sex offenders. But back to football.
Because we don't talk politics.
We don't talk politics.
Said it time and time again.
Yeah. Easy. Falcons. Boom. Mark it down.
Yep. Got to agree with you there. So that's going to just about end the show for us today on Couchside Sports. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whus.org/talk, we're happy to have you. Go subscribe, download some past episodes for us. Throw some numbers up on the board for the Couchside Sports crew.
Oh, yeah, please.
And you guys know what you get from us. Two couchmen giving you our perspectives on sports from the comforts of our couches.
As it should be.
That's right, as it should be. So that'll finish up Couchside Sports episode 22. We were in here December 14th, Thursday night. We will catch you guys next week, another episode of Couchside Sports. So your host, Kyle French, signing off for the evening.
Michael Burke, signing off.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks, guys.